But then I go outside, it's 93 degrees, and I have to wear a motorcycle jacket and pants and boots.
Body armor and shit. Yeah.
Yeah,
you got it. Yeah, they think it's cool. Until you got it. Everybody wants to be a Rough Rider. Until you got to put on the Rough Rider uniform and start riding or dying.
Back to the Trilateral Troika. This is Steve, along with the other Steve. And Ryan.
Pouring this one out.
That's violent.
Or was it the guitarist from Mastodon who died, or the bassist?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I think it was the bassist.
Yeah, he died a couple days ago.
Yeah, he died on a motorcycle. It was fucking awful. Please look twice to save a life. All the good shit. Like, don't be an asshole if you're in a car.
Wear a helmet.
Motorcyclists are
everywhere. You're on a motorcycle, wear a helmet.
Well, if you're on a motorcycle, wear a helmet. If you're in a car, please be respectful.
You're in a car and you're in Florida, wear a helmet, please.
Please.
If you're in a car, please.
I don't
want
to have
helmet.
To scoop you up and laugh at you.
Yeah, the guys, the cops I used to hang out with when I was younger, that were in my hometown, because they were my buddy's like dad's friends. So every time we went down the shore, they would be there. They used to call them.
Oh, yeah.
They used to call them motorcycles. They didn't like to tell cop stories around us, but they every once in a while they'd go off on the run, as like they were getting a therapy session in. They were hitting the kegerator like all day, and then they just had to get that therapy session in, and they start talking about how motorcycles are donor cycles. That's
yeah,
all
donor cycles.
About.
We call
yeah. He's like, he's like, the sickest thing I've ever seen in my life was a fucking motorcycle accident. I've never one. I cannot
nurse?
Not see it.
I'm a nurse in the ER. I am a paramedic with the county fire department. So I'm a paramedic on a 911 truck. But I also ride a motorcycle. So I look at these dudes that either come in with motorcycle accidents or respond to 911 calls for motorcycle accidents. And my dumbass still rides a motorcycle around.
Wow, yeah. You gotta stop. You gotta stop.
I've been thinking of selling it recently just because the people around here drive like fucking assholes. And I can't justify it very much longer.
Yeah, we got to think about
what is, with lights and sirens, and they will still cut us off.
Right.
And I'm just like, come on, man.
As much as the, like, you should be able to do what you want, it is like a thing where, you know, you've invested a lot of time and money into who you are right now. So, like, you're just going to throw it away on a motorcycle, you know? Like, you're worth more now to yourself, you know what I mean?
I know.
It's like...
Is he going to look cool?
Yeah. Oh, you think you're cool, Johnny, do you? Huh? You think you're cool? Well, does your driver's license say, organ donor, Johnny? Because we'll harvest your goddamn shit.
I think I'm cool, but then I go outside, it's 93 degrees, and I have to wear a motorcycle jacket and pants and boots.
Body armor.
Yeah.
They think it's cool until you got it. Everybody wants to be a Rough Rider until you got to put on the Rough Rider uniform and start riding or dying.
you want to die a pussy's death, you know, in your bed, in your sleep.
Every
know?
Rough Rider
wanna,
I know wakes
be,
up in the morning.
You want to be when you die.
And the first thing they
die,
hear.
Steve,
the first thing my Rough Riders hear in the morning is this. Arr, arr. That's all they hear. Get him, boy.
Do you want to die a bitch in your bed, or do you want people to say, last time we saw old Steve there, he was heading towards Lover's Lane?
That
dead man's curve there is taking many lives.
Sounds like a line out.
He's
of
taking
freaking,
dead man's curve at 150 miles an hour.
It sounds like a line out of Cormac McCarthy.
He thought he was one of those like motorcycle racers. So they're going like horizontal.
Don't worry, Susan. I'll be back. I'm always back.
Oh my god! But speaking of people with gigantic balls,
yes, that's right. We're continuing our discussion of one Theodore Kaczynski, called Ted by some,
yeah,
called Ted. Unabombers by the other,
yeah, Unabomber.
So to recap really quick, and I can recap the previous episode really easily, Unabomber is U-N-A bomber, Unabomber, and it stands for University and Airline Bomber. not Unabomber, like one bomber, like my dumbass thought for probably 20 years of my life.
So, first of all, I didn't know that. I did not know that either. I have never heard of
that. Okay, I'm not alone. Thank God.
To this day, I have never heard that. In fact, it's been so long since then, and since I've never heard that before, I never gave a shit. I didn't care about the Unabomber when I was I didn't fucking care. I was on the lowest tier. I couldn't afford shit, so I wasn't getting any packages. You know what I mean? So,
and then also his cabin, Mr. I live way off in the woods. His cabin could be seen from the highway, and you could hear trucks from his cabin. So, brother, you didn't live off in the wilderness in Montana. You lived at a campground. Like, right. that's where you lived.
Yeah. No, I didn't. So where'd we leave off? He was jerking off somewhere in the hedges at Yale. What was it?
He was in his cabin and he was jerking off to Playboys from 1986.
It was a good year.
Look at Tony Katan doing it again.
Oh my God.
He memorized all the articles.
I read Playboy for the articles.
I like the slope of her nips. Look at it.
Yes, he's been carrying out his bombing campaign for some time now.
How many people has he sent bombs to? Because at this point, he didn't kill anybody, right? Or he killed one person?
He's killed a couple people.
Okay,
he's more injured people than he's killed people.
Right, and his early bombs were not failures by any stretch of the imagination, because you have people that have, you know, loss of fingers, you know, severe burns to their face, that, you know, have like, you know, wounds and shit. But because people say, you know, the bomb went off and didn't kill anybody, it's a failure. Like, no, people's lives are irreparably altered by this.
Plus the fear.
You know, he did try to blow up an airliner.
You know,
he did try to blow up an airliner.
Right, force it to land because they had the smoke coming out and all that. But what I'm saying generally, if somebody is not killing people with bombs, we look at them, at least in today's society, being like, well, you're a failure. Like, the bomb went off.
Well, the thing is, they were failures in the sense that the bombs were designed to kill the people who opened them. They were not designed like, oh, I'm going to maim the person. Like, the airline bomb, it, like, malfunctioned and spewed a bunch of smoke. It was supposed to kill, like, the 150 whatever people on that airline.
It was supposed to take the whole plane down, was it not?
Yeah, it was supposed to blow up the plane. Like I said, it was supposed to kill like the all the people on the plane, which is like 160 people or something.
This fucking guy completely lost it.
So he's continued this campaign, and as much as someone who's lost it, he doesn't really seem to let people know what exactly his deal is until 17 years later in 1995.
That's my problem
with
this.
The manifesto.
That's my problem with this, man, is like, he doesn't let you know for 17 years, like, why he's doing this shit. Like, what is it, dude? Did you fuck it? Like, seriously, was it his dental insurance, like I said last episode? Or like, what
also,
was it?
Was there any connection? You know what I'm saying? Like, did the greater public know that, let's just say at this point, the 10 bombs that he sent out that just kind of maimed people before this and sent a bunch of smoke into a cabin of an aircraft, did people know that this was, like, all the same person? Like, was there
They knew it was the same person. Like I said, he left clues in the bombs, often contradictory clues, but they could all trace them back to him because they were all very similar. Like, they could trace the way they were, the handwriting, the materials used. It was very much that they knew that a single person was most likely sending these.
Right.
Did the country at large know that this was like the work of one person, or did we tell them?
I believe due to the FBI profile, they believed it was one person. Because I've listened to, like, old episodes of, like, Coast to Coast AM when the Unabomber was still around, and, like, Art Bell was very adamant that he was, like a Greenpeace guy.
That's fucking crazy.
He was, like,
was on and still on.
I'm telling you, folks.
He was, like, a left-wing
nut job. These environmentalists. Caller, go ahead.
But here's the deal. Art Bell was 100% correct. He's a left-wing environmental nutjob.
Oh, he's not left-wing. We'll get to that. He is not left-wing, and he would get very angry with you if you told him he was. Yes.
Fuck you, Teddy. Mail me a bomb.
Fuck you. Fuck you, queer. Mail me a bomb. Jesus Christ. You bomber.
Mail me a bomb, you
Polish son
queer.
Of a bitch.
You got these Polskies running around South Boston.
Yo, wicked gay, mail me a bomb.
Era. Why don't you buy a new sweater, jackass? Nice sunglasses, Iceman.
In 1995, Kaczynski mailed several letters to media outlets outlining his goals and demanding that a major newspaper print his 35,000-word essay, Industrial Society and Its Future, dubbed the Unabomber Manifesto by the FBI verbatim.
Yo, this is my
shit. In 1995.
Hey, yo, read
it. So that's 17 years after he started, because he started in, what, 77? 78? 79? 78.
That's, 78. So, dude, that's crazy to me. I don't remember hearing about him until the manifesto.
Well, 35,000 words is a long essay, so, you know, he was working on that. You know, he didn't have...
That is pages.
But when you're on Woods time, you know, you know, days melt.
He didn't have it. His dissertation advisor was a raccoon. It was very difficult.
When your hate is sustaining you, I mean, you know.
Can you imagine being the FBI officer that gets this manifesto and has to read all 35,000 words, and you can't phone it in because you're...
Bro, they probably write more than that in paperwork. They probably write more than that in paperwork daily.
Okay, but listen, it's
a lot of words.
Manifesto. It's Ted Kaczynski's manifesto. Yeah, can you imagine having to read this thing? I would kill myself. I'd be like, I wish you would have mailed me a bomb too. Shit. Get rid of me so I don't have to read this fucking nonsense for the next fucking 6 weeks.
But Kaczynski stated that he would desist from terrorism if his demand was met. There was controversy as to whether the essay should be published, but Attorney General Janet Reno and FBI Director Louis Free recommended its publication out of concern for public safety and in the hope that a reader could identify the author.
Well, it was actually only Janet Reno. See, Louis Free only knew how to say one word, and that was free. So they just thought that meant yes. Free.
Bob Guccione of Penthouse volunteered to publish it.
That was much funnier than you guys let on.
Kaczynski replied Penthouse was, quote-unquote, less respectable than the New York Times and the Washington Post, and said that, quote-unquote, to increase our chances of getting our stuff published in some respectable periodical, he would reserve the right to plant one and only one bomb intended to kill after our manuscript has been published. If Penthouse published the document instead of the Times or the Post, the Washington Post published the essay on September 19th, 1995.
Wow.
Reno again, huh?
Yeah. One of history's greatest monsters.
Yeah. How is she involved in so much fucking bullshit anyway?
Look, she had no choice, all right? She was just doing what the president said.
She just wanted to be governor of Florida. Just drive her pickup truck around the state. Yeah, she ran for governor.
That's hilarious.
Who beat her?
She's from like Miami-Dade. I think Charlie Crist.
So she's not from Florida?
No, she's from Florida. She's from Miami-Dade.
Yeah, she's not from Florida. That's Miami-Dade.
She's from North Cuba.
Cuba, bro. What are you talking about? That's not even a racist statement, by the way, because if you've been to Miami, you know exactly what the fuck I mean.
Yeah, it's literally North Cuba.
You'll better understand the language, man.
There's a part of Miami, there's a neighborhood called Little Havana, and it's like, bro, that's kind of fucking unnecessary because there really should be neighborhoods called like Little United States.
Also
like white people.
Yeah. Dude, it's the only place I've been in the continental US, okay, where we were at a hotel right off the mall for a convention, and we rolled into the parking lot, and there was a guy there at the booth. It was like a fucking Holiday Inn or something, you know? It wasn't like Los Hotel, you know, or something like that. This guy didn't speak a fucking word of English. None. And so we kind of piecemealed the high school Spanish together, and he told us where we needed to go, but he didn't understand a fucking thing we said. It was crazy. Never experienced that before. I'm not hating on it. I'm just saying, be prepared. If you go to Miami, you should know a little Spanish.
Kaczynski used a typewriter to write his manuscript, capitalizing entire words for emphasis in lieu of using italics. He always referred to himself as either we or FC Freedom Club, which is also the initials he used in some of his bombs.
Yeah,
so there's no evidence that he worked with others.
What the fuck is Freedom Club?
That was his name.
You work alone.
Yeah, it's the...
Oh, is it kind of like a joke where like he's trying to make them think he's not working alone?
Yeah, he's trying to throw them off by sort of making it seem like he's in an organization.
It's like that old joke where you get three pigs, or you get two pigs and you label them one and three, then you grease them up and let them loose in a building.
I remember somebody had breached that as the idea for a senior prank, and I'm like, no, because they'll find one and three and be like, all right, we're done. We're done with this. We know what time it is.
Yes, exactly. That is when I learned that joke, was that we were going to do it as a senior prank in high school. Ours was so bad.
It's crazy how we all live the exact same existence, and we graduated high school probably 1,000 miles from each other.
Yeah. And I think I'm older than you, right?
Yeah, I'm 38, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm 43. So,
so you're like, well, I'm about to be 39 in a month and a half. So, like, you know, you're
I'm
a
just
little
saying,
bit
older. I was already at the club, and you were still in high school. You know,
I'll be honest,
I already had my dick out
club?
With my fucking AFI T-shirt on, picking up the goth.
Listen,
clothes.
You were in the club, and I was in high school, but I was also in the club with you with my fake ID.
That's true. Yeah, and my buddy Joe. I hope he's doing well. Who's a professional wrestler was throwing you out. I went to this club one time, and I didn't like going to clubs. I wasn't there to find. I'm not there to find women. I'm not doing that. But I was there to drink, and it was like cheap as hell beer night. And we're watching the nerds play fucking shitty covers of random music and whatnot. And I look at one of the bouncers, dude. He's got to be. He's fucking enormous, like super jacked. And I'm like, but he also had like a big, like goatee kind of beard, you know, like the Pharaoh beard. And
and like the Scott Ian from Anthrax beard,
but much longer, completely bald and like crazy ass looking eyes. And I'm like, oh my God, it's this kid I went to high school with. And he's fucking hilarious. And then I was like, oh, hey, man. He's like, hey, how you doing? Right? And then I didn't see him all night. And I walked back at some point. He had some guy in a fucking like headlock and was pulling him out of the building. Because he was – that's what he did. He's an amateur wrestler, like WWE kind of thing. He was in a WWE show one
that's
time.
That's awesome. That's awesome, bro.
Yeah, dude. It has nothing to do with the fucking Unabomber, though.
Well, Ted Kaczynski was definitely
what
on
if I make
WCW
that the intro?
NWO Bash the Beach
I'll make that
on pay-per-view in 1995.
Was he really?
No.
Yeah, you can see him in the crowd. You know, he's wearing the hoodie and the sunglasses. It was really weird because it was at Daytona Beach. You know, it was really hot out, but he was there.
Bash the Beach at Daytona Beach.
You know, it was one of WCW's best shows.
Where do you want to have Bash at the Beach? Okay. How about Playa Linda?
controversial opinion. WCW was always way better than WWF. Fight me.
For a period, and then like, the end of WCW was awful.
WWF owned the late 80s, early 90s. That was WWF time. That was it.
Yeah.
After everybody jumped ship to WWF, that's when it really went downhill.
Yeah.
When like Chris Jericho, Benoit, and like Guerrero like left. Like that was the moment that the night that the company like died.
I vaguely remember like seeing a bunch of people like start to migrate to WWF, and that was like right around the time that like it kind of fell out of my interest, where I was like in, you know, like sophomore, junior year in high school, where I was like, all right, I have like graduation shit to focus on. I can't like watch wrestling as fun as it is. But I do remember when like people started leaving WCW, and I would see them come on like WWF or WWE. Nitro or not Nitro, Monday Night Raw or whatever it was, and it was,
yeah,
I think WCW is done now.
Yeah, it's still Raw.
It is Raw. It's a Raw wound because I liked the WCW.
It is Raw. It's very Raw. It's Raw.
The wound
deep.
Is still Raw, bro.
And none of this at all has to do with Theodore Kaczynski.
John Wade Foster analyzed the writing at the request of Kaczynski's defense team in 1996. It noted that it contained irregular spelling and hyphenation, along with other linguistic idiosyncrasies.
Hmm.
This led him to conclude that Kaczynski was its author.
Why?
So all right. So I've heard multiple different variations of this. The one that I heard that is the most plausible is that Ted Kaczynski's brother read the manifesto or portions of the manifesto that were published in the newspaper, and there was a specific saying. The saying being, you know, you can have your.
I'll get to that. His brother does turn him in. But I'm just saying that this like English professor from Vassar, like he analyzes it in his other work, and he's just like, probably the same guy. And this is in 1996 after he's like caught.
96? Okay, I'm jumping way ahead of shit. My bad.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm so excited because, like, Ted Kaczynski is something that I know a whole bunch about.
Scared.
And I can't wait till we get to the point where it's like, wait, you got caught like that? You fucking idiot? It was that? It was something that fucking simple, you moron?
Wow.
Industrial society and its future begins with Kaczynski asserting, the Industrial Revolution and its consequences have been a disaster for the human race.
The Industrial Revolution has flipped a bitch on evolution. What? It's no effects, the decline. Get some fuck culture, y'all. It's an 18-minute punk rock song.
He wrote that technology has had a destabilizing effect on society and has made life unfulfilling and has caused widespread psychological suffering. Kaczynski argued that most people spend their time engaged in ultimately unfulfilling pursuits because of technological advances. He called these surrogate activities, wherein people strive toward artificial goals, including scientific work, consumption of entertainment, political activism, and following sports teams.
How are those all artificial goals? Like, I understand following sports teams and probably, like, watching movies.
They don't matter. They don't matter, okay? Like,
scientific work and political activism works. That's not like artificial.
Hey, following sports teams matters. It creates an economy, and that economy employs a lot of people.
You ask my grandfather, following sports teams and specifically the Boston Red Sox.
Let me tell you what you tell the Unabomber. Okay, you tell him that there is no Brian Bosworth, the Boz, without people watching sports on a daily basis. And I'll be goddamn if I let some shit stain leftist fucking ruin the Boz.
You know, there's a lot of other things you could be doing. You could be hiking. You could be widowing.
Yeah, seriously.
You could be making bombs.
But, you know.
You could do anything else.
But you're going to condemn the Boz? Come on.
He states people do surrogate activities to satisfy the quote-unquote power process in which people strive to be independent and to achieve power over themselves. He predicted that technological advances would lead to extensive and ultimately oppressive forms of human control, including genetic engineering, and that human beings would be adjusted to meet the needs of social systems rather than vice versa.
Yeah, well, he wasn't wrong? Wait, no.
To do the drill tweet, like, I'll take back what I said, you know, you can't give it to the Unabomber.
No.
Like the one where he said, I take back what I said, I can't give it to ISIS.
Yeah.
Under no circumstances should you hand it to them.
Kaczynski stated that the technological progress can be stopped, in contrast to the viewpoint of people who he said understand technology's negative effects, yet passively accept technology as inevitable. He called for a revolution to force the collapse of the worldwide technological system and held a life close to nature, in particular a primitivist lifestyle, as an ultimate ideal.
But you could have stopped this guy in 5 minutes if you just handed him like a book of, like, you know, advanced math world problems, you know, word problems. You know? Somebody, he ran out of math. That's what happened. That's my theory. He ran out of good math to do. And because of that, he developed, you know, political opinions. It's kind of like the same timeline as Bobby Fischer, if you think about it, right? Like, he ran out of chess. Like, he didn't have any more chess to play, so he became a fucking anti-Semitic fucking lunatic asshole.
I forget if we covered it in the part one, but I remember reading somewhere that, like, his school of math that he focused in was pretty much like a solved corner of, like, mathematics.
Really?
Like he was like one of the last guys to really contribute anything meaningful to a pretty much like solved like area of mathematics.
Give me more. See, I'm right. He ran out of math, and then he got into politics, and it turns out he wasn't as smart in that side of things. Okay, it's the same thing with Bobby Fischer. Bobby Fischer didn't go to high school or college, and people would give him shit.
Went to college?
No, dude.
I thought he went to college.
Nope, never went. Never made it. People used to give him shit because he didn't know how to do certain things.
For some reason, I thought Bobby Fischer got like pushed through high school, like skipped high school and college.
Nah, he dropped out of high school.
Okay.
Yeah, because remember the Unabomber got pushed ahead, which is another reason why you don't like push your kids up grades and send them to college early.
Yeah.
Kaczynski's critiques of civilization bore some similarities to a philosophy called anarcho-primitivism. But he rejected and criticized anarcho-primitivist views.
And what are the views of the anarcho-primitivism?
They're essentially like similar to the Unabomber in that they believe that like people should live like an anarchist lifestyle, but without technology.
Okay.
That's essentially what a primitivist lifestyle is. That people are like, I'm going to go live like the Unabomber in like a cabin in the middle of the woods.
You can't stop me.
57 feet from the highway.
Yeah, it's a real Walden thing. You know, he's living 3 miles away from his mom's place, so if he needs his laundry done, he can just walk. You know, down like down.
There was a time in the mid.
Parents owned 6 acres of property, and he just lives on the back of the property.
Yeah, there was a time like in the mid 90s there where I felt like I was 57 minutes away from hearing "Life is a Highway." You know.
Oh my god.
Like at any moment it would be on any radio station. Stop fucking playing this song. This is the rap station.
I'm so fucking sick and tired of hearing fucking Rascal Flatts and goddamn Life is a Highway. And why do I always hear Rascal Flatts?
What the hell? You're gonna get us pulled off.
We're not on any of those.
Oh, that's awesome.
Kaczynski argued that the erosion of human freedom is a natural product of an industrial society because in his words, quote unquote, the system has to regulate human behavior closely in order to function, and that reform of the system is impossible. He said that the system has not yet fully achieved control over all human behavior and is in the midst of a struggle to gain that control.
It hasn't got us all yet. It hasn't got us all yet. It's just like math. I'm smart.
Kaczynski predicted that the system would break down if it could not achieve significant control, and that is likely this issue would be resolved within the next 40 to 100 years.
Just so my analogy is pressed home here, that's what happened with Bobby Fischer. It's 100% what happened with Bobby Fischer. He was exceedingly intelligent in one area. He was a genius in one area, and people just assume that because he was
that one area,
he should be. Yeah, he should be into, but nobody thought that he should be smart anywhere else. He thought he was, and then every other field he'd get involved in, he was way out of his element, and he took these crazy extremist like conclusions, and just turned into a terrible person. Terrible person.
He stated that the task to those who oppose industrial society is to promote stress within and upon the society and to propagate an anti-technology ideology when that offers the counter-ideal of nature. Kaczynski added that a revolution would be possible only when industrial society is sufficiently unstable. So kind of what he's doing in the sense that he's just indiscriminately causing chaos, this is something that a lot of like far-right groups like ascribe to. Like, it's sort of like what also like caused like the sort of the what was sort of the idea behind Oklahoma City. Like the idea.
Okay, I'm listening.
The idea is that you cause enough damage to the system, that you cause enough chaos, that society begins to break down, and then extremist elements are able to like take advantage of the situation. It's like all like the last wave of like school shooters. They were all like kids that ascribe to the sort of like neo-Nazi ideology that's propagated on the internet and these like chat rooms and stuff. But essentially the thing is that they believe that, like, if they do these mass shootings, it's going to erode
Oklahoma City.
Well, Oklahoma City was, the idea was that they were going to set off this truck bomb and it would destroy this federal building and it would cause enough, because remember they left behind the pages from the Turner Diaries?
Right.
The idea was that they thought that they could incite like some type of uprising. That if they set off a bomb, other people would set off bombs.
Oh my God.
So it's not really like they're striking. The ideas are not striking targets in a sense of like it's a military operation and you're trying to like disrupt their supply chains. The idea is that you're causing enough damage and chaos that other people are going to take advantage of it.
This sounds vaguely like Charlie Manson in the 60s idea that he could start a race war by killing Sharon Tate.
I mean, I don't think the Beatles were as involved, but yeah.
You mean the Beach Boys?
No, because he was listening to Helter Skelter.
Oh, okay.
Mike Love was the reason he killed Sharon Tate, because Mike Love introduced him to the one record executive who lived at the house before Polanski moved in, and he told him to like he told him he wasn't interested and to fuck off, and that's why he sent the Manson family to kill him.
It sounds very similar. Do a big crime, incite future big crimes to occur. Like it's the underlying kind of through thread is the same. You do a big crime, and
it's very similar. I think it's more that with the Manson family, even though he claimed that was the reason, I think the real reason was that he wanted to blame it on black people. I think Manson explained to the Manson family that we're gonna start a race war, but because the idea was that they were going to make it look like black people had done it, like the Black Panthers had done it, and I think that was sort of his idea, and I believe he was also feuding with like a Black Panther drug dealer at the time.
I don't know what the guy's name is, but because he owed him money.
He owed him money. And I think he also tried to plan to pin it on him, but he's also Charles Manson.
Speaking of speaking of black people, I just watched Sinners, the Ryan Coogler joint. Very careful. Fantastic. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's an excellent movie.
It was excellent. I think it's like a 7. I would give it an 8 if the beginning wasn't like, you know, it was just really like, I don't know, it felt stretched out. I kind of agree with my wife on it. It was... It's just too long.
I've heard it's pretty good. I need to go watch it.
It was very good. Like, if you just condense the first part of it, I feel like it would be even better, but it was very good. There were so many, like, twists and shit. It was. I did not see some of that shit coming. And then there were, like, little cue points where you thought that's where it was going to go, and it didn't go there.
Is it on streaming yet, or is it just in theaters?
It's streaming.
It's on Max.
It's on Max.
Max, okay. Heard.
Yeah. It was really good. I liked it.
A significant portion of the document is dedicated to discussing political leftism as a manifestation of related psychological types, with Kaczynski attributing the prevalence and intensity of leftism in society as both a negative symptom of psychological pressures induced by technological conditions, as well as an obstacle to the formation of an effective anti-tech revolution.
Wait a minute. I have seen Sinners. I've seen it. I just didn't know what it was called because I joined like probably 15 minutes after it started. Oh, but yes, okay. It's a really good movie.
Yeah,
yes. Huge fan of like the
I love
the trio
Jordan,
showing up to the bar and being like, "Hey, we're gonna sing you a song real quick, and you should let us in to sing and perform for you guys."
It was very good. Yeah, and then they played my favorite one of my top three Irish songs ever, which is "Rocky Road to Dublin." Which is
it's so creepy. It was so creepy watching him do it. I was like, because you understand what the theme is of the vampires of you have to invite them in, and just watching it is so creepy, bro.
Yeah, I don't want to give any spoilers.
It's a good movie. Watch theirs.
He defined leftists as mainly socialists, collectivists, politically correct types, feminists, gay and disability activists, animal rights activists, and the like.
Wait, gay disability activists?
What? Gay and disability activists.
What?
What's he got against gay disability actor? So if you're a straight he's fine with you?
If you're not a heterosexual white male, you're a leftist.
He believed that over-socialization and feelings of inferiority are primary drivers of leftism and derided it as, quote-unquote, one of the most widespread manifestations of the craziness of our world.
That would make him a leftist, because he's definitely someone who feels inferiority.
I could have swore he was a leftist.
Kaczynski added that the type of movement he envisioned must be anti-leftist and refrain from collaboration with leftists, as in his view, leftism is the long run inconsistent with wild nature, with human freedom, and with the elimination of modern technology.
Okay, so there you go. Oh, that's pretty much the most condemning statement ever. He's definitely not leftist.
Not although Kaczynski in his manifesto has been embraced by what are called eco-fascists, he rejected fascism, including those whom he referred to as the eco-fascists, describing eco-fascism as a aberrant branch of leftism. In Eco-Fascism, an Aberrant Branch of Leftism, he wrote, the true anti-tech movement rejects every form of racism or ethnocentrism. This has nothing to do with tolerance, diversity, pluralism, multiculturalism, equality, or social justice. The rejection of racism and ethnocentrism is purely and simply a cardinal point of strategy. He wrote that he considered fascism a kook ideology and Nazism as evil. He never tried to align himself with the far right at any point before or after his arrest. He also criticized conservatives, especially describing them as fools who whine about the decay of traditional values, yet enthusiastically support technological progress and economic growth, things he argues have led to this decay.
So is he a leftist? Is he right? Or
he's
is
not, he's not anything.
He's really not a right. He's like independent. Like he's like I believe my own shit. Fuck everybody.
He's a centrist.
God, the worst. So he's a Republican.
The most obnoxious. Yeah. Basically, he's a Republican. He's the most obnoxious person in the world. Basically,
he put himself down as a moderate.
I'm right in the middle on this. You know, I don't really care.
Well,
one way or the
you
other.
Know, everybody has good ideas. I think we should all meet in the middle. Fuck off.
Yeah, like I think we
that's
should.
That's why I shot the microwave.
Like I think we should deport people forcefully from their families and leave their kids behind, or vice versa. But at least they should have health care. I'm a centrist.
I hate people like that so much.
But they were in the country illegally, and I think they should be able to be openly gay, okay, and get married. Yeah, it's like that's a centrist. How can you have you can't do both of those things?
James Q. Wilson in a 1998 New York Times op-ed wrote, "If it is the work of a madman, then the writings of many political philosophers, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, Thomas Paine, Karl Marx, are scarcely more sane."
Yeah, fuck these the Unabomber to Rousseau.
The Unabomber does not like socialization, technology, leftist political causes, or conservative attitudes. Apart from his call for an unspecified revolution, his paper resembles something that a very good graduate student might have written.
Yeah, but fucking,
we've already
but
established he's very smart.
Rousseau, very smart, right? Political writer. Yeah, you know, pretty radical. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't try to fucking off a vacation plane, like fucking. He didn't try to murk grandma.
Well,
because
they didn't exist
Disney,
yet, Steve.
You know?
They didn't exist yet, Steve.
I don't even know
so
if Rousseau. I don't think Rousseau has any bodies on him, does he? I don't think so. Maybe.
He was a
powdered lily white philosoph. The fuck do you think he looked like? He's not out there with a gun and murking fucking dudes in the Sherwood Forest.
His streak of carriage bombings.
The fuck? This isn't V for fucking Vendetta, my brother. V didn't mean
man
Voltaire.
Like, Guy Fawkes mask on.
Yeah.
A highwayman who looks like the Zodiac Killer.
We make a new movie called why did I make that sound so Italian? We make it a new movie. We call it Voltaire for Vendetta. And instead of killing the other people, he just has really biting repartee. God damn.
We make it a movie.
No, I love that fucking Elon Musk, Italian Elon Musk. I make it a spaceship. I don't pay him my taxes. I'm making a spaceship. I don't pay him my taxes.
Alston Chase, a fellow alumnus at Harvard University, wrote in 2000 for The Atlantic that it is true that many believed Kaczynski was insane because they needed to believe it. But the truly disturbing aspect of Kaczynski and his ideas is not that they are so foreign, but that they are so familiar. He argued, we need to see Kaczynski as exceptional, madman, or genius, because the alternative is so much more frightening.
I mean, listen, even if his shit was coherent, what he did speaks far more louder. Okay, it's far louder than anything he wrote.
Go ahead. Explain
this a bomb, Steve.
I don't give a fuck, dude. Like, you know, Hitler could have wrote,
of course,
like,
it's gonna be louder.
Hitler could have wrote In Search of Lost Time, but he still fucking murdered 8 million Jews, 6 million Jews, you know? The chief author of the Holocaust. Don't fucking bullshit me about all the other ones. I know they were involved, but, you know, he let it go.
Hitler made the call. Fuck him.
He definitely made the call. Absolutely. He was John Madden. He was the final, had the final say on that play, all right?
He had the little iPad. He circled the defensive tackle. Said, "Boom, right here."
Exactly.
That was it.
Exactly.
He was covering his mouth with the Windows tablet, but we knew what he was saying.
He covered up his mouth so we couldn't see him. Called ZIP02RIDE4/Jew. Go on two.
Hitler was surrounded by all his top generals. He just circled Auschwitz. He said, "Boom."
Yeah, but again, it invalidates the book. But you do have to, I guess you do have to study it, right? Like, you have to study it, because then otherwise...
You have to.
Yeah, because look, just like Mein Kampf, if there are people out there right now who fucking read that shit and, like, identify with...
That's a great idea.
Yeah, they do. It's not... I'm not fucking lying.
Insane. It's fucking insane.
It makes no sense, dude. It's fucking weird.
And here's the craziest part is you tell people, like, hey, this was written by Adolf Hitler while he was in jail in Germany.
I mean, Kaczynski's intellect, though, you say, much higher
this is
than,
kind of,
than a Hitler.
You know, contextually. But, like, contextually, hey, this was Adolf Hitler's writing while he was in jail. And I think it was 37, maybe 36, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Right? But people will still be like, no, he makes excellent points. And it's like, dude,
no,
holy fuck.
It was published in, like, 1926.
But here's
26?
The thing.
Okay.
26. Hitler's not a genius. Kaczynski is. And that doesn't really change the fact that he's a fucking raging madman asshole. Like,
yeah.
You can't sit here finesse me that I'm going to be like, Unabomber stuff? Real good.
Well, it's also Mein Kampf is just poorly written. It's just like...
Yeah, no. Like, you can't really compare the two. Now that I'm thinking about it, you can't really compare the two.
It's not really even theory, because it's just like, you know, you see Jews on the street. Why do they dress so funny? That's not German.
Why do they do that? He's like a bad white comedian. You see black people walking down the road.
That's literally a passage from Mein Kampf. He's just like, I see the Jews in the street. They wear funny costumes. That's not German. Why are we letting these people be here?
Well, yeah, because that's like every Kampf fucking racist ever. Why are their shirts so long?
Library. And the librarian looked at me like I was insane checking it out, and then I returned it a couple days later, like, laughing. I was like, this is, like, the stupidest fucking thing I've ever read in my life. And she was like, okay.
Oh, Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our high school library had it, and had a couple copies of it. So, like, you know, it was part of the curriculum, so, like, read it at some point. And I just remember, like, laughing as I was returning. I was like, this guy sounds fucking retarded. How is this guy the Chancellor of Germany? Like, he sounds fucking like a goddamn idiot.
Yeah, exactly. He's a populist.
University of Michigan Dearborn philosophy professor David Skirbina wrote the introduction to Kaczynski's 2010 anthology, Technological Slavery, which includes the original manifesto, letters from Kaczynski to Skirbina, and other essays. Just to add real quick, nobody in Germany read Mein Kampf, by the way. It was something that was just bought to own it once he came into power.
Mm-hmm.
Two further editions have been published since 2010, one in 2019 and another in 2022. Kaczynski also wrote a second book in 2016 titled Anti-Tech Revolution, Why and How, that does not include the manifesto, but delves deeply into an analysis of why technological society cannot be reformed and the dynamics of revolutionary movements.
He wrote a book in 2016, so he wrote a book while he was at ADX Leavenworth?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay.
According to a 2021 study, Kaczynski's manifesto is a, quote unquote, is a synthesis of ideas from three well-known academics, French philosopher Jacques Ellul, British zoologist Desmond Morris, and American psychologist Martin Seligman.
As a side note, Desmond Morris looks like Kevin Spacey. It's crazy.
Oh, I hate Kevin Spacey so much. I don't even know if I hate him as much the fact that he's a fucking rapist or the fact that he ruined my opinion of him, you know?
Allegedly. Like,
Kevin Spacey ruined my opinion of Kevin Spacey, and I hate you for that.
I don't want to find out about you being, like, killed in your car, Steve, so you gotta say alleged.
Nah, fuck him. He was a goddamn rapist, as far as we can tell.
Yeah, but all the guys that, like, testified against him, like, got killed.
Well, Kevin Spacey? Kevin Spacey.
Kevin Spacey. He killed... You're telling me Kevin Spacey murked witnesses.
He had them killed, yeah. Like, all the guys that were gonna testify him against him in the UK, like, they all died, like, suddenly. Yeah. It's like, I'm not making it up. I'm not saying, like, isn't it... I'm just saying, like, the people that were going to testify against him, like what's all her name? Virginia Guilfoyle? Like yeah, like, when it came time where it's like, oh, yeah, we need to talk to this person. Oh, no, they died under strange circumstances.
Steve is now furiously Googling all the people who were going to testify against him.
Yeah, and he also...
Are you talking about Kevin Spacey?
He also used to party with Epstein.
Are you talking about the actor, yeah. Kevin Spacey?
Yes, the actor, Kevin Spacey.
He got off of all of his charges in the UK because all the key witnesses against him, they either died or wouldn't testify.
Number one,
Did you not know Kevin Spacey was that much of a piece of shit?
No, I knew he was a piece of shit. I didn't know he got off and that he had people marked and disappeared. Like, and I didn't even know he was being charged.
He did not officially.
He did not officially have people marked.
And I didn't. Yeah. And I didn't know that he was that happened in Britain.
Yeah, the Kill James Bond podcast. They've been doing heist movies, and they did The Usual Suspects was their latest one.
Yeah,
and they had a joke at the beginning, essentially saying that they disavow both Bryan Singer and Kevin Spacey, but then they also made jokes about how he's a rapist and probably killed the people who testified against them, but that's they added allegedly because one, they can get sued more easily for that in the UK, and two, they know those people were killed.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ! All right, in Minecraft, fuck's sake, Jesus fuck.
There you go.
This fucking guy. I'm still not gonna watch because what was that fucking show he was on where he was like Bill Clinton basically? Fuck, what's that?
I know the show you're talking. I can't remember it. It fucking sucks. It's an awful show.
I'm glad it.
I know it's an awful show.
It was like one of the most popular shows at the time.
No, it's a terrible show. I don't care if it's popular. Fucking garbage is popular.
Oh, you guys are it's crazy. Terribly, that was a great show for the first three seasons.
It's terribly written.
It was okay, and then it went to absolute shit.
Anyways, Because of the material used to make the barrel bombs, right? House of Cards, yeah.
Universally acclaimed show. Like, I didn't watch the whole thing for obvious reasons, but yeah.
Like, the first season was okay, but then the rest of them was like...
That's so odd. I just find that very
odd. It just
got
too ridiculous.
It was absolutely ridiculous. But the first two seasons, at least, were definitely good. And then it went out of fucking control. And we were losing interest. But then that was when all that shit was going down. We knew we weren't going to be watching it anymore because Kevin Spacey was getting accused and shit.
Because of the material used to make the mail bombs, U.S. postal inspectors who initially had responsibility for the case labeled the suspect the Junkyard Bomber.
The Junkyard Bomber.
FBI inspector
just rubbed him the wrong way.
The Junkyard Bomber. It sounds like a WWE wrestler.
Oh my god.
FBI Inspector Terry D. Turchi was appointed to run the UNABOM University and Airline Bomber Investigations.
It's a Unabom investigation.
And in 1979, a FBI-led task force that included 125 agents from the FBI, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, and the U.S. Postal Inspection Service was formed. The task force grew to more than 150 full-time personnel, but minute analysis of recovered components of the bombs and the investigation into the lives of the victims proved of little use in identifying the suspect, who built the bombs primarily from scrap materials available almost anywhere. Investigators later learned that the victims were chosen indiscriminately from library research.
The U.S. Postal Service having cops is the scariest thing in the fucking world. Like,
they have
the mailman, the gun? No.
They used to have a picture of them on the website. I don't know if it's still there for the inspection service. And it's like, Rainbow Six Siege, but all their vests say like U.S. Postal Inspector. I'm not joking. Just like guys are like full SWAT gear and it just says Postal Inspector.
Doug, yeah, how you don't want to fuck with the Postal Inspectors, that? Bro. Oh, God.
In 1980, Chief Agent John Douglas, working with agents in the FBI's Behavioral Sciences
Unit. That's for real, though, bro. Postal Inspectors, they have, like, unlimited jurisdiction power. They're fucking scary as shit.
Yeah, they're like fishing game. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw you take a letter from your neighbor's mailbox. That's why I had to come into your house.
No warrant. And you know what? No judge in the world gives a shit because I'm a postal inspector.
Or like the wildlife service guy. Like, I saw an endangered animal come into your house. I had to make sure that it wasn't there. Thought I saw a gopher tortoise come in your front door. Where is he?
I just need you to open up every drawer and cabinet in your house right now.
In 1980, Chief Agent John Douglas, working with agents in the FBI's Behavioral Sciences Unit, issued a psychological profile of the unidentified bomber. It described the offender as a man with above-average intelligence and connections to academia. This profile later refined to characterize the offender as a neo-Luddite holding an academic degree in the hard sciences, but this psychologically based profile was discarded in 1983.
That's not FBI very wrong, though, right? A neo-Luddite with a degree in hard sciences, right? Because he had a degree in mathematics.
Remember, we did. The Luddites, I mean, they weren't really just anti-technology.
They were more labor-focused.
Okay.
FBI analysts developed an alternative theory that concentrated on the physical evidence in recovered bomb fragments.
Yeah, what did we do before we had, like, water bottles? You know, like, everybody's got a fucking water bottle now. You know, they always have a personal water supply. What do we do?
You drink scotch like a man.
Yeah, you had to buy bottles of water. I think bottled water is probably gone. Like, the stocks must have hit the shitter now, you know? Unless you're like
69 cents a bottle.
Yeah, unless you're like super bougie and like you're buying Poland Spring to pour in your fucking steel water bottle.
Poland Spring, bro, shut the fuck up. Oh my god, I miss Poland Spring so much.
What it means to be from Maine.
Oh my god, I miss it so much.
They turn on the hurricane machine, and that's what gets people to buy all the bottled water.
Oh god.
Oh, we need more money for Bawawawa. Did I say bottled water or Barbara Walters? You don't know. Hi, I'm Steve, and I'm a cunning linguist.
In this rival profile, the suspect was characterized as a blue-collar airplane mechanic.
Damn, that's a British insult if I've ever heard one. You fucking blue-collar airplane mechanic.
Yeah, wow, that's the most British insult I've heard in a minute.
what's the Cockney rhyming slang? Like, what are we replacing here?
The Unabomb Task Force set up a toll-free telephone hotline to take calls related to the investigation with a $1 million equivalent to $2.18 million in today's money reward for anyone who could provide information leading to the Unabomber's capture.
2.18 or 18?
For all our
2.18 million.
Oh, okay.
2.18 million. That's crazy. But for all our Gen Zers, toll-free telephone hotline means it doesn't cost you money to call it. Because, see, back in the day, in the 80s and the 90s, it would cost you money to call these people. So they say, hey, we've set up a telephone hotline. It doesn't cost you anything. You can just call us. And you don't have to put the money in the payphone to call us because it's toll-free.
That's like a great way to get...
Payphones were something like... where phones that were like public telephones, it cost 35 cents to make a call locally, 50 cents to make a call long distance.
And they cost 0 cents to do an abandoned 911 joke.
Oh my god. And if you are old enough to remember 1010-220...
How many abandoned 911s do you have to go to? Or you don't roll out unless there's a confirmed thing, right? So,
no, if you call 911, you hang up.
The cops,
they will still send a cop, but they will also send a rescue and an engine, just kind of like perfunctory, but we won't go like quote unquote hot. So we'll just kind of drive over there. No lights, no sirens. And then the cops will tell us if they need us. If they need us, we'll kind of what we call upgrade. So we'll turn on the lights, we'll turn on the sirens and kind of get there quick. If they don't need us at all, we'll just turn around and go back to the station.
Ah, okay. Asked and answered.
There you go.
For the publication of Industrial Society and Its Future, Kaczynski's brother, David, was encouraged by his wife to follow up on suspicions that Ted was the Unabomber.
I really think it's Teddy. David was
dismissive at first. Your brother was always making bombs.
Oh, man.
I asked him what he was doing. He said he was making bird feeders. I said, those don't look like bird feeders, Teddy. David was dismissive at first, but he took the likelihood more seriously after reading the manifesto a week after it was published in September of 1995. He searched through old family.
Bitch-ass brother.
He searched through old family papers and found letters dating to the 1970s that Ted had sent to newspapers to protest the abuses of technology using phrases similar to that in the manifesto.
And again, here's the thing. Ted Kaczynski, very smart guy, but he would get the phrases wrong.
Was he, though? I mean, come on.
And he would make... No, I mean, objectively, a very smart person, but like the phrases, the turn of phrases that he would use were very, you know... like normal turn of phrases, but he would fuck them up in very small ways where it was like, wait a minute.
Kill two birds with two stones.
Don't shit like that. Like, I'm going to kill two birds with one stone, right?
Yeah.
Or like,
make sure you shit where you eat.
Two stones with one bird.
Make sure you shit where you eat.
Right, like dumb shit like that, and like the fact that that is what kind of gets him caught just blows my fucking mind.
That's so weird.
Well, yeah, because he didn't have anything to really save him, and then his notebook got rained on, so just looking at it, and he's trying to piece it together.
You're making this sound like a Blind Melon music video. I mean,
he's just doing the Biff thing where he's just like making like getting everything wrong. Make like a tree and get out of industrial society.
All right, McFly, why don't you make like a tree and get out of industrial society? You need to make that t-shirt. It's just the Unabomber yelling at Marty McFly.
Who was it that said you the can't have your cake?
The Unabuzzer.
Was that Marie Curie? No, that was the nuclear physicist lady.
No, she's a chemist.
Marie Antoinette said let them eat cake.
Marie Antoinette, that's the one that said the actual original phrase that Ted Kaczynski fucked up.
Yeah, Marie Curie discovered radiation, right?
Yeah, no, she was a nuclear physicist.
Before the manifesto's publication, the FBI held many press conferences asking the public to help identify the Unabomber. They were convinced that the Unabomber was from the Chicago area, where he began his bombings, had worked in or had connection to Salt Lake City, and by the 1990s had some association with the San Francisco Bay Area. His geographical information and wording and excerpts from the manifesto that were released before the entire text of the manifesto was published persuaded David's wife to urge him to read it.
Hey, yo,
after it was published...
Don't this sound like Uncle Ted?
This sounds like your brother.
By God, it does sound like Uncle Ted.
Martha, after the manifesto
start
was...
the Oldsmobile. We're going to the FBI Buick ready. The Oldsmobile started the Gutless.
Fill my thermos. It's going to be a long drive.
Thermos.
After the manifesto was published, the FBI received thousands of tips. While the FBI reviewed new leads, Kaczynski's brother David hired private investigator Susan Swanson in Chicago to investigate Ted's activities discreetly. David later hired Washington, D.C. attorney Tony Bisegli to organize the evidence acquired by Swanson and contact the FBI, given the presumed difficulty of attracting the FBI's attention. Kaczynski's family wanted to protect him from the danger of an FBI raid, such as those at Ruby Ridge or Waco, since they feared a violent outcome from any attempt of the FBI to contact him. So when he does go to the FBI, it's not just because he's like, it's like, oh no, I gotta turn in my brother. It's more like, I gotta turn in my brother before they murder him. Because considering everything going on in like the mid '90s with like Waco and like, well, Ruby Ridge was in the early '90s. I think it was either late '80s or early '90s.
But, I don't even remember.
But like with everything going on, it's like, yeah, the FBI and like all those groups don't have a good track record with, you know, like negotiations with people like Ted Kaczynski.
Do you guys remember that shit?
Yeah, no.
Fucking Ruby Ridge. I don't remember that shit.
I
remember Ruby Ridge, but I was also probably like 3 at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did it happen?
92?
Yeah, I was 10.
91?
I was like 10 or 12. I do not remember.
It was 92. 92. I was 6.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I don't remember that shit at all.
So, I think the most, like, fucked up part of Ted Kaczynski...
I thought Ruby Ridge was just some schifoza, you know? It's on the news. So why are they arresting this whoever again?
Is the fact that he was brought down just by linguistic, like, intricacies, if that makes sense.
Yeah, you said that already.
Like,
it's not... What?
Go ahead.
I was going to say other people later on get taken down by that method. It becomes a more thing in vogue. Like, BDK gets taken down that way.
Well, I thought BTK got taken down because his daughter did, like, a Ancestry.com thing and submitted their DNA, and he also submitted his DNA or some point. Or, like, no, some that's the, like, Ancestry.
No, that's the Golden State Killer.
The original Golden State Killer. There's so many of these motherfuckers. All right.
The original Night Stalker or Golden State Killer, it was that they had DNA evidence from him, and they're these amateur investigators who they get the DNA information and they submit it to some of these services, not 23andMe, but when one of his family members put it to 23andMe, they got a match because they also cross-referenced that.
If you use 23andMe, because we were actually just doing this earlier, a group of us were sitting around, if you do 23andMe, it will actually tell you if any of your family members have also done it, and will also give you, even if they haven't done it, like anybody that has DNA on file, like your closest family members. So it will give names, dates, it will give marriages, it will give divorce dates, like a twin. Any public record.
I'm a twin, and I've had my DNA and my brother's DNA done, and when I got my DNA results, they went to my brother's account because he has like the main account. He pays for it. He loves that shit. Mm-hmm. And on the account, it says, when you look at it, when you look at my DNA, it says this, because remember, my brother's logged in and he's looking at my DNA results, right? It says this is either you or your identical twin.
And he just like mindlessly scrolling to the bottom. He's like, okay, yes, I know, of course, yeah. It's my twin. Get the fuck out of here.
We have different, we have slightly different genetic expressions, like actual like location variables, but but everything else is just like 100%, just a fucking dude and the other half of the same machine, you know. Machine.
But yeah, like I was saying, BTK was caught because he got sloppy with his letters that he was sending to the cops. He got too arrogant.
Yeah, that's on that. And they were, that's in the documentary.
And they were able to get him that way.
Yeah.
He started in early,
like, sending them like his actual name and his location and shit. He got real arrogant.
Yeah, he said
Avenue B. I'm on Avenue of the Americas. Station 4, apartment 11.
I'm sending a pin to your Google Maps.
I can only move at about 1.12 miles per hour max, huh? So just make sure you send someone faster than that. I'm very
In early 1996, an investigator working with Bisegli contacted former FBI hostage negotiator and criminal profiler Clinton R. Van Zandt. Bisegli asked him to compare the manifesto to typewritten copies of handwritten letters David had received from his brother. Van Zandt's initial analysis determined that there was better than a 60% chance that the same person had written the manifesto, which had been in public circulation for half a year. Van Zandt's second analytical team determined a higher likelihood, and he recommended Bisegli's client contact the FBI immediately. In February of 1996, Bisegli gave a copy of the 1971 essay written by Kaczynski to Molly Flynn at the FBI. She forwarded the essay to the San Francisco-based task force. FBI profiler James R. Fitzgerald recognized similarities in the handwriting using linguistic analysis
to
determine that the author of the essays and the manifesto was almost certainly the same person.
Jimmy Fitz, good with words.
combined with the facts gleaned from the bombings and Kaczynski's life, the analysis provided the basis for an affidavit signed by Terry Turchi, the head of the entire investigation, in support of the application of a search warrant.
Yep, I've heard that.
Kaczynski's brother... Yes?
Do not respond to me, dude. Just keep going.
No, talk about search warrants. Go ahead.
Kaczynski's brother David had tried to remain anonymous, but he was soon identified. Within a few days, the FBI agent team was dispatched to interview David and his wife with their attorney in Washington, D.C.
Hey, you gotta bring that bitch down here.
David provided letters written by his brother in their original envelopes, allowing the FBI task force to use the postmark dates to add more detail to their timeline of Ted's activities. David had once admired and emulated his older brother, but had since left the survivalist lifestyle behind. He had received assurances that the FBI, from the FBI, that he would remain anonymous and that his brother would not learn who had turned him in, but his identity was leaked to CBS News in early April of 1996. CBS anchorman Dan Rather called FBI Director Louis Free, who requested 24 hours before CBS broke the story on the evening news. The FBI scrambled to finish the search warrant and have it issued by a federal judge in Montana. Afterwards, the FBI conducted an internal leak investigation, but the source of the leak was never identified.
Motherfuckers.
Womp womp.
FBI officials were not unanimous in identifying Ted as the author of the manifesto. The search warrant noted that several experts believed that the manifesto had been written by another individual.
Nah, bullshit.
FBI agents arrested an unkempt Kaczynski at his cabin on April 3rd, 1996. A search revealed a cache of bomb-making components, 40,000 handwritten journal pages that included bomb-making experiments, descriptions of the Unabomber crimes, improvised firearms, and one live bomb. They also found what appeared to be the original typed manuscript of Industrial Society and Its Future. By this point, he had been the target of the most expensive investigation in FBI history at that time.
Jeez.
A 2000 report by the United States Commission on the Advancement of Federal Law Enforcement stated that the task force had spent over $50 million, the equivalent of $91.3 million in today's money, on the investigation. This is also an investigation that's been going on since 1978.
Yeah, but to say his crimes go back to the 70s, so...
Yeah.
After his capture, theories emerged naming Kaczynski as the Zodiac Killer, who murdered five people in Northern California from 1968 to 1969. You know what? He did all the other ones.
It sounds very plausible.
No.
Yeah, he's a... No. He's
Your
like,
uncle was
Steve
telling
Sachs?
Me that he read it on The Prodigies.
Steve, wasn't it Steve Sachs in the Simpsons softball episode?
Wanted for murder?
He gets pinned for every murder in New York City.
Yeah. But murder? I can't remember what he said. Yeah. Hey, nice try, Sax.
You're from New York City. I hear there's a lot of murders in New York City or whatever. What a coincidence.
Oh, shit.
Among the links that raised suspicion were that Kaczynski lived in San Francisco in the Bay Area from 1967 to 1969, that both individuals were highly intelligent with an interest in bombs and codes, and that both wrote letters to newspapers demanding the publication of their works with the threat of continued violence if the demand was not met.
And there are other ways Kaczynski's to get published, Ted. I mean, seriously.
Kaczynski's whereabouts could not be verified for all of the killings, since the gun and the knife murders committed by the Zodiac Killer differed from Kaczynski's bombings. Authorities did not pursue him as a suspect.
Interesting.
Robert Graysmith, author of the 1986 book Zodiac, said the similarities are fascinating, but purely coincidental. At one point in 1993, investigators sought someone whose name first name was Nathan, because the name was imprinted on the envelope of a letter sent to the media.
Motherfucking Nate did that shit. Fucking my boy Nate did it.
Nathan did these crimes.
It can't be a guy named Nate. Wrong. That would just invalidate all value of the crimes, you know?
Nah. It's that SWAT team gift. They're just coming through every Nathan's like door.
Yo, Nate. Yo, come outside, sorry, dog.
Sorry if your name's Nathan, but if your name's Nathan, I don't believe you could commit any kind of major crime at all.
Yeah. Well, there was Nathan Hale.
All right, bro.
And the hot dog place.
Yeah, Nathan's hot dog is a travesty, but I don't know.
A federal grand jury indicted Kaczynski in June of 1996 on 10 counts of illegally transporting, mailing, and using bombs.
Got him.
Kaczynski's lawyers, headed by Montana federal public defenders Michael Donahue and Judy Clark, attempted to enter an insanity defense to avoid the death penalty, but Kaczynski rejected the strategy. On January 8th, 1998, he asked to dismiss his lawyers and hire Tony Serra as his counsel. Serra had agreed not to use an insanity defense and instead promised to base defense on Kaczynski's anti-technology views. After this request was unsuccessful, Kaczynski tried to kill himself on January 9th. Sally Johnson, the psychiatrist who examined Kaczynski, concluded that he suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, though the validity of this diagnosis has been criticized. Forensic psychiatrist Park Dietz said Kaczynski was not psychotic, but had a schizoid or schizotypal personality disorder. In his 2010 book, Technological Slavery, Kaczynski said that two prison psychologists who visited him frequently for 4 years told him they saw no indication that he suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, and the diagnosis was ridiculous and a political diagnosis.
Wasn't Kaczynski involved in MKUltra in some form?
He was.
Yeah, we talked about it, but
his fatality was a mail bomb.
Okay.
You get it? He was in the MKUltra, you get it? Because of his Mortal Kombat.
So he wasn't one of the people that actually got, like, really fucked up, like, for instance, Whitey Bulger. Like, for hours and days on end, getting acid and kind of subjected to torture.
For everything we know, essentially what they did was that they had him write essays, and then they had someone, like, attack him over his essay.
Okay.
He said he found it unnerving, but it was the same way, like, if I said, Ryan, write me something, I'm just, like, just tearing you apart by what you wrote, by your, like, dreams and aspirations.
What is this schlock? What is this schlock? It's schlocky.
Okay.
What are you, method?
So it's, what is so, this? So the level of torture was the equivalent of going to a Kill Tony show. So.
Yeah, it was like going to a Kill, yeah.
Just unfunny, just demoralizing, just being verbally abused by the worst people ever.
Yeah, or just like if you don't have any other jokes, you just shit on Tony the whole time. It's like,
hell no.
That show is fucking awful. I've seen only like one or two sets. I'm a big fan of stand-up comedy. I've only seen one or two Kill Tony sets where I was like, that was legitimately good. Most of them are just terrible.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Some contemporary authors suggest that people, notably Kaczynski's brother and mother, purposely spread the image of Kaczynski as mentally ill, intending to save his life. On January 21st, 1998, Kaczynski was declared competent to stand his trial by federal prison psychiatrist Johnson, despite the psychiatric diagnoses, and the prosecutors sought the death penalty.
Yeah, Kaczynski my boy, you're about to get it. I'm sorry.
Kaczynski pleaded guilty to all charges on January 22, 1998, accepting life imprisonment without the possibility of parole. He later tried to withdraw this plea, claiming the judge had coerced him, but Judge Garland Ellis Burrell Jr. denied his request, and the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit upheld the denial. In 2006, Burrell ordered that items from Kaczynski's cabin be sold at a reasonably advertised internet auction. Items considered to be bomb-making materials, such as diagrams and recipes for bombs, were excluded. The net proceeds went towards the $15 million, the equivalent of $23.4 million in today's money, in restitution Burrell had awarded Kaczynski's victims. Kaczynski's correspondence and other personal papers were also auctioned.
What did they go for? What did his papers go for?
There was a lot of them.
I want a number.
I don't know enough. It just went towards judgment, so it didn't.
I'm gonna go over what the totals, but I'm not gonna break down like item 1F.
Your Honor, I present to you item 1F. Okay, accepted. Okay,
now on this one, Kaczynski hates himself because he wishes he had the Sears catalog to masturbate to, but is angry because it is a Sears catalog and therefore technologically dry.
Kaczynski, in this item, this is a letter to the editor of Bounce magazine, and basically what it says is that he started the bombings because he was not allowed in the NWA group.
His cabin was the size of my backyard shed that I keep my lawnmower and weed whacker in. So realistically, he couldn't have gotten a whole bunch of money from this.
How'd he live
That's currently in the FBI museum.
His cabin?
No, like, I've seen how big his cabin is. Yeah, dude, it's very small. Like, it's literally the size of, like, the sheds that people put in their backyard.
How did he survive that long? It is not a large
cabin at all.
That's fucking crazy. Because
he was like literally a mile from town, dude. Like, he'd ride his bike to town and buy supplies. People knew who Ted Kaczynski was. They thought that he was like the town oddball, the weirdo. They knew who he was. His cabin was not like 50 miles off in the rough like the mainstream media or documentaries on Netflix or Hulu would like have you believe. Like, he lived very close to town. It's just he was a quote-unquote hermit that lived in a cabin, and the cabin was, again, the size of, like, one of these, like, backyard sheds that you could buy.
I just want to see, like, how many more analogies you could give me about how big it is.
Alright, so
it's kind of like if you took, like, a milk crate, right? Maybe, like, 8x8. Eight milk crates by 8 milk crates. Maybe he could fit in there. Do you understand what I mean? If you took, like, a standard size Amazon shipping box and cut just the flaps off and turned them over, and then you maybe stacked that 64 times in a square, like a cube, it was about that big.
Do you get me now?
Think about, like, if you were at the fucking grocery store and you open the freezer section door, the Stouffer's mac and cheese, and you just let it melt. Well, it came out. If you take the mac and cheese out, and just the dish, the volume of 37 of them, that's how big it was, okay?
It was the size of your first house in Minecraft.
Oh, God.
But what if you just had balls from day one, and, like, you just built, like, a giant castle in Minecraft? That would make it really big. Yeah. Mm.
Kaczynski's correspondence and other personal papers were also auctioned. Burrell ordered the removal before sale of references in those documents to his victims. Kaczynski unsuccessfully challenged those redactions as a violation of freedom of speech.
Hey, I want my bad shit in there.
The auction ran for 2 weeks in 2011 and raised over $232,000, the equivalent of $324,000 and $300,000 in today's money. Following Kaczynski's sentencing to life without parole, he gifted his cabin to Charlotte Holdman, an anti-death penalty activist and mitigation specialist who played a role in preventing him from receiving the death penalty. The U.S. government
immediately gave it to the U.S. government.
No, the U.S. government refused to allow her to keep it.
Oh.
Because all of his stuff got taken by the government as evidence. So it was all forfeited.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Almost immediately after being convicted, Kaczynski began serving his life sentences without the possibility of parole at ADX Florence, a supermax prison in Florence, Colorado. Early in his imprisonment, Kaczynski befriended Ramzi Youssef and Timothy McVeigh, perpetrators respectively of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing and the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing, respectively. They discussed religion and politics and formed a friendship with which lasted until McVeigh's execution in 2001.
When did McVeigh get executed? Did he see the World Trade Centers get flown into and destroyed, or did he get executed before that happened?
I think he got before then.
Ah, you got, son.
He had Yeah, he died in June 11th, 2001.
Oh, that's unfortunate. Can you imagine him, his execution date being like September like 15th? So he sees September 11th happen. Wait, and then it's like, it's like, actually, we're going to kill you so you don't get to see the outcome of this. All right, come on, let's go. He's like, no, wait, no, this is great.
Oh, my gosh.
Kaczynski stated about Timothy McVeigh, on a personal level, I like McVeigh, and I imagine that most people would like him. But he also stated, assuming that the Oklahoma City bombing was intended as a protest against the U.S. government in general and against the government's actions at Waco in particular, I will say that I think the bombing was a bad action because it was unnecessarily inhumane. So the Unabomber's just like, yeah, you know, I hang out with Tim, but what he did was awful.
It's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, Tim, I can't believe Tim, how Tim turned out. Can't believe it.
You know, a man's got to have a code.
I mean, if you're going to blow people up, I mean, you would think you would have one, you know?
In October of 2005, Kaczynski offered to...
a fucking doofy-ass white Larry Bird motherfucker with a spiked haircut, you know?
The broom cut?
Yeah. The Flo-Bee. The Flo-Bee fade.
In October of 2005, Kaczynski offered to donate two rare books to the Melville J. Herskovitz Library of African Studies at Northwestern University.
This is my first edition copy of I Can't Stand the Goddamn Government. what the fuck? What rare books does he own?
It's written by hand because I can't stand technology.
This is a copy of an essay of Shakespeare where he openly talks about bombing people who write bad plays. Okay? I really identified with it. It's very rare.
But this was the site of his first attacks, and the library rejected the offer.
Where did he get rare books?
No, they were from his personal collection.
That's what I mean. Like, how did he get
rare books? Remember, he collected books. That was all he did.
Okay, so he was fairly well off financially this whole time, right?
Well, no, he just collected books. Like, he just bought them when they came out.
What I'm asking is, how did he exist that long before without getting caught? Like, did he have a job? How did income come in? I don't understand.
Well, he didn't work. He just lived off the land or whatever.
That's really.
I think he did odd jobs around town. They talk about early on that he like worked in the library and stuff. But I think other than doing like a job here or there, I don't think he was like pulling shifts at the McDonald's.
He had stuff to write, you know.
But the library rejected the offer because it already had copies of the works he was going to donate to them.
Yeah, we have the Grapes of Wrath. Yeah, the first one. Yep.
The Labadie Collection, part of the University of Michigan Special Collections Library, houses Kaczynski's correspondence with over 400 people since his arrest. This includes replies, legal documents, publications, and clippings in their own subcollection titled Ted Kaczynski Papers 1996 to 2014, majority within 1996 and 2005. His writings are among the most popular selections in the University of Michigan Special Collections. The identity of most correspondents will remain sealed until 2049. In 2012, Kaczynski responded to the Harvard Alumni Association's directory inquiry for the 50th reunion of the class of 1962. He listed his occupation as prisoner and 8 life sentences as awards.
Jesus Christ.
In 2011, Kaczynski was a person of interest in the Chicago Tylenol murders. Kaczynski was willing to provide a DNA sample to the FBI, but later withheld it as a bargaining chip for his legal efforts against the FBI's private auction of his confiscated property.
The Chicago Tylenol murders?
Yeah, that was from the murders back in the 80s where a guy, it's the reason why you have the cover on medicine.
It's the seal you have to break. Safety seals on medicine because people were dying after Tylenol, bottles of Tylenol were being altered to, I believe
it was like cyanide.
I think it was
rat poison, which is cyanide pretty much.
Yeah. Listen, and people were taking Tylenol and dying.
That's crazy.
And it was a huge panic. They had to pull Tylenol from like every store because they had no idea what was tainted and what wasn't.
Yeah, it was so fucking random. I think Netflix has a documentary, but it kind of sucks. But it kind of gives the overview, at least, of.
Like, but it's a very famous case in terms of like how to like resolve things like that for how to a company to successfully like do like a recall and then just sort of like how to properly manage things from a PR standpoint as well as a logistics standpoint, like how to deal with a crisis.
Especially never heard of it. It's very, very, very like common in crisis management and stuff like that.
Those were mandatory in my high school. I just like you. Yeah, we're just like each other. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I definitely had classes where I had to know about this fuck the Tylenol poisoning thing. It just never came up.
Came up when I was getting my graduate degree.
It never came up.
The U.S. government seized Kaczynski's cabin, which they put on display at the museum in Washington, D.C. until late 2019, when it was transferred to a nearby FBI museum. In March of 2021, Kaczynski was diagnosed with rectal cancer.
Yeah.
He had complained of rectal bleeding in March
rot.
2021.
Mm-hmm.
And on December 14th, 2021, he was transferred to Federal Medical Center Butner in North Carolina.
He had butt rot and he went to Butner.
Kaczynski was receiving biweekly chemotherapy until March of 2023, when he began to decline all treatment due to the unpleasant side effects and his poor prognosis. In May of 2023, Kaczynski was noted by a prison oncologist to be quote-unquote depressed and was referred for a psychiatric evaluation. At 12:23 a.m. on June 10th, 2023, Kaczynski was found in a cell unresponsive with no pulse after hanging himself from a handicap rail with a shoelace.
How the fuck did he get a shoelace? I feel like he would be on the kind of like restriction for security that they would not give him things like a shoelace.
They might have messed up because it was at the medical center as opposed to, you know, like Supermax where they have like the TV's like under like a foot of concrete.
Yeah.
He was found in a cell unresponsive with no pulse. Like I said, prison employees immediately began resuscitation measures, including chest compressions. He was taken to Duke University Hospital in Durham, North Carolina, where his blood pressure remained low until he was pronounced dead at 8:07 a.m. that morning. And that, boys, is the story of one Ted K.
Ted K.
The Uniblama.
Oh, my God. The university and airline bomber.
Yeah.
Not the guy who bombed once. Not Una bomber.
I don't know why everyone's so mad at him. He only did one bomb.
I thought Unabomber
How many
was.
People could he have killed?
6, 7 pops? Were they even people at that point? We don't know. They might not have been fully formed.
Plenty of people have blown up one bomb and not a lot of people have died.
I've blown up a lot of bathrooms in my time, okay? I'm just saying.
Don't be soft. I've blown up bathrooms myself.
You know, you get out of it, don't go in there. That's a crime scene in there, my God.
Call me the Unabomb.
Oh, man. That'd be like if you had a friend who's constantly blowing up your bathroom, you should start calling him the Unabomber.
Oh, my God.
Nice. All right. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Bye.
Well, good night. Good luck.
Bye.